Good morning, church. Good afternoon, actually. Morning is over. It is now afternoon. We've prayed for the Word of God, and today we expect that God will be faithful and He will deliver His Word according to His purposes. I missed this opportunity last week with you for obvious reasons, because of the storm. And, you know, in the past, I've been blamed for all kinds of things, including storms, as if I've got something today, so that we can be changed indeed. So God will do His marvelous works in our lives. Amen. Allow me, if you can, if I may read a little thing for you. I'm not going to bore you too much with too much detail, but one of the things I like to do is I like to bring statistics, you know, and things of that nature into the equation, because some information, it just makes me look a lot smarter than what I actually am, number one, right? It does, really, because it's like I'm not really that bright, but I like to do that. I like to stand in front of you and look intelligent. The Bible says that, you know, we should be like that. We should be ready to give an answer in and out of season. But that is not the topic of my message today. Let me read you a little thing here, a little bit of information that I found. You know, Google is a wonderful thing, but I actually went to a site, and this is what it says. This is called Resolution 2195, parentheses 2014, and it was adopted by the Security Council at its 7,351st meeting on the 19th of December of 2014. You're going to say, well, who is he talking about? I'm going to tell you in a minute. The Security Council, reaffirming its primary responsibility for the maintenance of international peace and security. Who was it? Brother John, you're talking about peace? Enemies? Right? Is that what you said? About the enemies. Okay. Reaffirming that terrorism in all forms and manifestations constitutes one of the most serious threats to international peace and security, and that any acts of terrorism are criminal and unjustifiable, regardless of their motivations, whenever and by whomsoever committed. Reaffirming further, stressing, gravely concerned, reaffirming the need, expressing concern, stressing that, noting, gravely concerned again, urging, recalling, deeply concerned, reaffirming, emphasizing, seriously concerned, recalling again, noting again, reaffirming again, recognizing again, noting again and reaffirming again. Wow. Goes on. There were about 26 points. That is actually taken from directly from the United Nations website as a result of its last meeting December 19th, however you want to phrase that, of last year. It is a resolution that's adopted by the United Nations dealing with international peace and or lack of it. Right. You can read about that in your own time. You can log into the at your own leisure, and you can just log into the United Nations website, and you can find out all these resolutions. There's no secret. I was able to get them. Although I did go into one of the sites, it said that I was not authorized to be there, so I quickly got out of there. Nothing wrong with what I did. It's just it was one of the sites that didn't give me permission. So it was their own personal site. How many of you started this year, or any of last year's, past years, and you made a resolution for the new year? Is there anybody here? Could you like to maybe give us a show of hands? You made a resolution. Did anyone? Only like six, seven people made a resolution? Like, yeah? You made a resolution to do something in the new year, right? The rest of you did not make a resolution. Is that correct? Wonderful. Wonderful. Let me read you a definition now of what a resolution is for the rest of you who are listening. Resolution. Do we have that on our PowerPoint team, please? No? Resolution. It's got real kind of funny name with a Z and a couple of large S amongst the capital S and amongst the little, you know, lowercase and whatever. It says, the resolution's a noun. It says, it's a firm decision to do or not to do something. How many of you have made a resolution for the new year? Let me read again what the resolution, what the noun says. Resolution says, it is a firm decision to do or not to do something. How many of you still did not make a resolution this year? Are you getting my point? Even if you did not make a resolution, you still made a resolution not to do anything. That's what it says. To do or not to do. It's still a resolution. The choice is yours. Some made a resolution to lose weight. Some made a resolution to buff up. Look, well, they do. People do. People make all kinds of resolutions. I'm going to change my job. I'm going to take a vacation. There's a resolution. It's just a... The word itself is probably a little misleading. It just simply says it's a decision, firm, to do or not to do. You're in agreement with me now that everyone in this room made a decision? Everyone. Okay, let's go on. The key verse for us will be John 4:34. I'm going to make this very quick. I'm going to read a little something to you here. I want to tell you why I chose the United Nations resolution. I chose it for one reason. It represents a collaborative example of global efforts of the human race. This should be the greatest example of intelligence, period. How many could say that sounds reasonably true? Two, three, four, five people. I mean, after all, these are the leaders of the globe. They get together and they form a resolution and they make a firm decision based upon certain facts and or whatever. I'm going to go somewhere with you. I'll come back to everybody. In 2014, from 27th of January to 19th of December, the United Nations Security Council adopted 63 resolutions. 63. Five resolutions dealt with threats to international peace and security caused by terrorist acts. Five. Specifically. No. Seven threats. Seven resolutions dealt with other threats of peace. That's 12 of the 63. The remaining 51 resolutions dealt with other matters pertinent to the international community. Again, you can read about that in your own time. Go to the United Nations website, log on, and find out what those resolutions are. Just for this year, there were 63. Ironically, the year 2014 began and ended with threats to international peace. It began and ended with threats to international peace. The purpose of the United Nations resolutions was to address these issues and these concerns. That was the purpose. This is what I think. However exemplary those resolutions sound, I seriously doubt the validity of their effectiveness. Why do I doubt that? Because look, the beginning and the ending of 2014 were exactly the same. Acts of terrorism, listen, this is what's currently going on in our community, in our community, in our city, in our state, in our nation, and in the nations of the world. This, tell me, you can correct me anytime you want, except not now, after the meeting, right? Because we need to get the message done. Acts of terrorism, wars, rumors of wars on the rise, violent crimes against citizens of all ages, from all walks of life, disease, famines, drought, pestilence, and disasters at record levels. How many can say they can agree with that? How many? Is there only six people that actually see this now? The rest of us don't see it, or you just don't want, you're too afraid to put your hand up because you don't want to see it. Pastor Alvin just mentioned briefly, God wants to change us. And if 2015 for me ends the same way that 2014 ended, that's not a good sign. It's not a good sign for me. I need to grow in the measure and stature of Christ more daily. I don't need yesterday's manna because it's not going to cut it. That's the word of God. Even I don't say that. That's the word of God. Yesterday's manna you will not make it. It's stale, the Bible says. It's stale. It's not fresh. It's not current. It's not fit for the day. So you have to gather in fresh manna daily. We have to increase. He has to increase. And we have to decrease. That's our problem. Our problem is that we don't like to decrease. Why am I saying this to you? The last couple of years have been, for me personally, my family, and I said my family, I'm talking about my whole immediate family, we've had some trials. Definitely had some trials. I'm sure that all of you have had some trials. Sickness has been really certainly one of the biggest problems. You know, we're all still holding jobs. Thank God for that. There are other things that are going on. You know, we eat still pretty much the same. None of those things have changed. We dress a little better sometimes, a little worse other times. It's not important. That's not, you know, as the occasion calls, we kind of fit appropriately. But trials are still there. And one of the hardest things is when you realize that you are powerless. You have no power over anything in your life other than throw yourself on the floor, man, face down first, and cry out and call unto God. There's nothing else you can do. God's purpose is already set on course. Whether I live or die will not change the purpose of God. You understand what I'm saying? It won't change. Whether you're alive or dead won't change. What will change is your family's bank account because it's going to cost some money to bury you. They'll miss you. Your friends will cry for you for a while. And then after a while, things will settle down and life will go on as usual. And you'll find that things are happening all around us. And life is still pursuing. You know, even our weatherman is blaming man for everything. The weather's been blamed for, man's been blamed for the weather. He's been blamed for this and blamed for that. I actually read a scripture just yesterday. I'll just quote the scripture, but I just forgot where it was now. Actually, it was in Psalms. It says that God brings... No, it wasn't Psalms. It was in Kings. It was in King David's time. David made a decision, a firm decision, that on the day when the Bible says when kings go out to war, David stayed home. It's not in my notes, but this is for you in the message now. And in making that choice to stay home that day when he should have been out with his soldiers. David made one of the most catastrophic decisions in his lifetime. It's a choice. Remember, we're talking about resolutions here. This is not a morbid message, by the way. This is a message about choices. Every day, you and I, we make choices. Every single day, every single hour, you can sit, you can make a choice to do something, you can make a choice to do absolutely nothing. Either way, it's still a choice. If you don't go to work tomorrow, when you're supposed to, there's a good possibility that you may not have a place on Tuesday when you could have been there. Right? So the choice of Monday will be a decision maker on Tuesday. Or certainly maybe by your boss's perspective, by the end of Monday, he will already decide how Tuesday is going to look for you and me. We can do that. People do this all the time. Is there a problem with that? Is there a problem with making choices? No. God said, here, today before you, I place life and death. What did he say next? Choose what? To die? Choose what? Life. Well, if I got no control over my own life, how can I choose my life? I have a choice. I have a choice in the time that was allotted to me to be upon this earth. I have a choice. God did not appoint us unto wrath, he says. He said, honor your mother and your father, and you will have a short life. A what life? A bad life? A long life? Bad one? Bad long life? Or a good one? Prosperous? Healthy? I'm not even going to go there. If you're looking at some people, why they're not here, they can probably presume that they didn't honor their mother and their father. However, that's not totally true. We know that. But for some of us who are still alive, and as life moves on, you're going to find that starts to take a real serious meaning in your life. It does in my life. It certainly does in my life. I've chosen to honor my mother and my father in place of my natural parents. Well, not in this nation, of course. I have my in-laws, whom I choose to honor, to say, because these are the parents of my wife. These are the people who have embraced me into their home. I'm the stranger, not them. And have embraced me as family. Their choice. It was their choice. Could have been worse. Could have said no. And I would still be married to my wife and not be able to go see her parents. Right? And then I would not be able to honor them in the way that God wanted me to. And then my life could have been cut short as a result of that. That would have been tragic. Well, that's not the case in this family. Thank God for that. Amen? Okay. So, after you just heard all these resolutions, right, that the United Nations had passed, and I was thinking, I said, like, wow, these people are absolutely serious about what they do. They're very resolute. They get together whenever they call the Security Council, all the nations, and please don't tell me that you really don't care what the United Nations does. I'm telling you that every time they hold a session in New York City, right, every one of you that drives on the roads will wish to God that they never came to this country, right? He's like, get out of here. We don't need your traffic mess. And at the end of the day, when you think about it, it started with this and finished on the same note. Nothing changed. So I'm actually going to write a letter to them and say, excuse me, in view of your current standing and your resolution achievements, it's best that you go somewhere else because it's obviously not working and just causing nothing but chaos in the city of New York. They do, right? However, they still believe that they can make a difference Is it good actually not to have any resolution at all? How would you like to live in a place where there are no laws? Are they good? All of them? Are they perfect? They're not perfect, okay? They're subject to interpretation. All kinds of stuff happen, and, you know, innocent people get caught up because it just generally covers everything. It's just beyond the scope of man to be really that perfect. It is beyond the scope of man. Not beyond the scope of God, but for all practical purposes, God set up all governments and authorities, and God works through every situation. And in the imperfections, through the imperfections of these purposes and these workings, God makes himself manifest. How many can say amen to that? When you should have been convicted to something, right, and everything stood against you, and God said, not today. Today is not the day. I'm going to change things, right, that you can't control. I'm going to change. I have made a resolution. And aren't you glad that God made a resolution on your behalf? It's a perfect resolution. Perfect in every way. We don't always see it like that. And when we feel the squeeze and God's got us pressed in the corner hard and we start to cry out, Lord, what is it? What do you want from me? He said, I want you to stop being in control. I want you to trust me. Trust me in this thing. Our efforts to overcome problems inherent to man are grossly ineffective. They lack traction and are mostly futile. We formulate laws and rules that we ourselves cannot understand, let alone adhere to. Yet, we just can't sit and do nothing. At best, we just maintain an existence without really knowing the purpose. At best. I can say that for myself. And even this is because of God's great grace. We're just imperfect. But oftentimes, we'll make resolutions to do this or that or whatnot. And it fails. Most of those resolutions fail. Even if for a little while we gain some ground, traction, you find that the ground becomes slippery all over again and, you know, just hard to keep. It's hard to keep a resolution, you know, tactile and 100%. The food tastes so good, you know, it's after all, it's meant to taste good. Right, so a little bit of, you know, that extra sweet cookie and Twinkie. Not pointing any names. Pointing at any people. But, you know, we do that. And it's okay. Listen. You can eat all the stuff. God allows us to eat things. It's just, it's what we perceive. We make a resolution based upon the way somebody else looks, the way somebody else acts, the way somebody else dresses, the way somebody. Look, let's be honest with each other. We start young as babies. We grow up. We become children. We become young adults. We become adults. You know, we go from diapers to, you know, to suits, and, you know, from nakedness we came to, you know, from dust we came to dust we return. It's a whole cycle, you know. So the stuff in between, a lot of things happen in between. There are a lot of changes, a lot of dynamics that go on in our lives. And most of those material things have little to no value to our eternal purpose. Almost none. God is not going to judge you or I based upon the kind of clothes we wear or have, can afford or cannot afford, the type of restaurants we've eaten, right? The houses we live in, the cars we drive. whatever. You know, it's not. That's not the purpose of the kingdom of God. That is not why Jesus came. He didn't come to pin us against each other because I eat vegetables and you eat steaks, or you can't afford and I can't, or whatever. Those are not important things. What is important? What is important? When man sinned, he severed his ties with his Creator, and he was expelled from his eternal habitat. You know, when that happened, heaven didn't spin out of control instantly. You know, the planets didn't go into a free fall. The stars didn't fall from the sky, other than Satan, because the Bible says he's the star that fell. Right? So when you see people referring to stars, usually the movie industry, you know, they pop culture, they refer to them as stars. Ever wondered why they call them stars? It's a very interesting thought. I don't know if it translates that well into other languages, but it certainly does into English. They're falling stars, most of them, if not all of them. You know, God didn't call for an emergency special session of the angelic host when that happened. He didn't lose sleep or his hair, or he beat his chest in despair. Instead, God initiated a resolution. And that was primarily because it was a commitment to himself, not to you and I either, by the way. That's a commitment to him. It was a firm decision. Why? Why was that important? Because God did not create man unto wrath. He did not appoint him for that. He did not create man for that. God created man that he should have fellowship with him. How am I doing for time? Quick. That's okay. It'll be quick. We'll finish it. Aren't you glad that God, the Father, had made the ultimate resolution? He didn't come with a firm decision, I'm going to do this. He said, I'm coming with a solution. Not just, well, I'll do it, like we do, and I'm going to diet, or whatever, and then that goes out the window, because I'll start tomorrow. It happens. It happens. Listen, it's real. That's life. But thank God that our God the Father is not like that. He's not man that he should lie. He's not man that they would change his mind every 2 minutes, right? He's not schizophrenic in his thoughts. Yeah, well, today I'm hot, next day I'm cold. None of that. His purposes and his resolution is absolutely, absolutely fixed. He says, I have set my sights. Okay? That's the word of God. Not wavering to the left, not to the right. Not backwards, forward. Forward is the only direction that God knows is forward, man. There are no backwards. You know, we go backwards because we have a defeatist mentality at times. We go sidestep to the right, to your left as you're looking at me, to the left, whatever. I think I'll just back up a little bit here. Oh, got to watch out for that one. Oh, take it easy now. Don't come near me. And occasionally we get brave enough and we take the plunge. Like, I don't know if you saw on Facebook, my niece, Gabrielle, and Ronald, they took a plunge off this pier, right? Weir, whatever you want to call it. It looked pretty high to me. Right? I was like, whoa. I said, you know, so I was quick to respond to Gabrielle. I said, Abby, I said, that doesn't look safe, sweetie. I said, besides, your health insurance doesn't kick in until February. I said, not a very wise move. But it was too late. She had already resolved that she was going to take the plunge, and she did. You know, and Ronald was telling me how he was afraid of heights. You know, and I said, like, well, that doesn't look like he was afraid of anything. You know, he just plunged right off. You know, the water looked good, though. I must admit, I probably would have done it myself. Forget the fear factor, right? Just do it. Right? In Puerto Rico, man, the water is just beautiful. But they made a resolution, you know, to take the plunge. I'm sure they enjoyed themselves. They're coming back tomorrow, right? Alive and well. Thank God for that, right? Thank God. I was praying real hard for them. Listen to what Isaiah 9:6 says. Do we have any of these scriptures up in PowerPoint? If not, it doesn't matter. He said, "For unto us a child is born, unto us a son is given, and the government shall be upon his shoulders." Not mine, his. He says, "And his name shall be called Wonderful, Counselor, the Mighty God, the Everlasting Father, the what? The Prince of Peace." How do you think, how does that stack up, right, when you hear that? One guy, what a guy. Born in a little town, right? Bethlehem, not Nazareth. They called him Nazarene, but he was not from Nazareth. He was from Bethlehem. He was born there. He just happened to walk around. He spent a lot of time in Bethlehem, Nazareth, and Jerusalem. That was his main places of abode. God sends one guy. You know what's interesting about it is that Jesus also had a choice like you and I. You're going to say that, oh, he was God, it was easy for him. Really? That's not what I read in the Bible. That's not what I read. He said, "Father, if at all it is possible that this cup and this hour should pass from me, if at all, please. I don't want to go through that." He said, "But nonetheless," what? "Not my will, but your will be done." Nonetheless. Nevertheless. It's not important what I want. You can paraphrase it any way you want to. He said, "Not what I want, what you will. What you want, Father, I will do." There's another scripture that said, rarely will a man lay down his life or die for a good friend. Rarely. Seldom, if ever, will a man lay down his life for an enemy. And we were all once enemies of God. All of us. We're all destined for eternal judgment. Except for the resolution that is found in Isaiah 9:6. Except, there you go, one guy. Now, you know what? I'm going to ask you this. We're going to finish up here. All the smartest people in the world, because remember, God gives man intelligence. No, men are not necessarily stupid. They've come up with some stupid stuff, though, but they're pretty smart. Right? They've invented some stuff that's not real intelligent. Nuclear weapons are not real intelligent. You know, there's a whole bunch of stuff like that that's not good. And you can say amen to that. I know you can. Right? And there's a whole host of other stuff. Not good. God didn't strike man down just because they did that. God still has a purpose for man. His resolution is still perfect. And of all the people and all the powers and principalities and all the smart people in the world got together, as they do, they are no closer today for solving issues of conflict in life. No closer today than they were in the beginning of 2014, 13, 12, 11, 10, 9, all the way, as far as I remember as a kid, it went on forever and ever. Planes were getting hijacked all the time. I remember, you guys remember, some of you who are old enough, right? They would blow them up and all kinds of stuff. My dad was on a plane once, and they stopped somewhere in, you know, I don't know where it was, Karachi or whatever. Oh, that wasn't Karachi. Karachi is Karachi, I think, Pakistan. They demanded a ransom. Like, I don't know, $1 million or something. They wanted to just, because otherwise the plane doesn't get refueled. Yeah, I guess the captain said, our country's just too poor for that kind of stuff. Just better fill up the plane, man, otherwise our guys are going to come with the military over here. We'll take care of business. I think it solved the problem within 10 minutes. Filled up the plane, it was done. You know, so it was nothing new. It goes on. It's been going on forever and ever and ever. But there's also, shouldn't strike us as a surprise that God had a plan right from the beginning. Before all these things happened, God already had a plan. God's resolution was that he would send a child. For unto us a child is born, a son. A son is given. It's not like he was just born, given. He said, if you believe in God, you call upon him. He said that he will offer other men as ransom for us. Their lives for our lives. That's what the Word of God says. But that's hard to believe sometimes, right? That's hard to believe because we can't see God. But you know what we do instead? So instead we make resolutions and we set out to prove to ourselves that it will work. Whatever we do, it will work. That's our resolution. So after a while we find out that's not working. So we have another resolution. The resolution not to have any more resolutions, which is a resolution itself, right? I resolve not to do anything. Well, that's fine. You don't have to. Because tomorrow, it will be the same day as today. Could it actually be even worse? Could be. You don't have to make any decisions. You can just sit right there. We can, all of us. I'm just preaching to you. I'm sharing with you today. We can just decide not to do anything. Pastor Alvin, feel free. You can sit here all day long. Maybe we'll see you next week in the same place. You don't have to eat, by the way. You know, we'll see how effective your resolution was next week when we see you. When you're looking a little pale and you're passed out on the ground for a lack of food and hydration or whatever. You don't have to do anything. The Proverbs guy said, you know, I went by the field of the lazy sluggard, right? The walls were torn down. The grass was overgrown, right? Everything was in ruins. That's okay. You can have that resolution. There's no problem. It's not my home. It's not my fence that's falling down. It's yours. I don't even bothered by somebody's fence falling down. It's their resolution. They made the choice. It's a firm decision. It was just in the beginning. To do or not to do something. In Luke 22, that was a terrible thing that happened, but actually was the catalyst for a new covenant that God established between you and I. Judas betrayed Jesus in Luke 22. And we must acknowledge that betrayal led to the ultimate work, ultimate redemptive work in God, which was the work on the cross, was where Jesus, the Son, he made the ultimate sacrifice, abolishing the curses, generational curses. And it was written in the book of Jeremiah. It says that in that day when he comes, he will establish a new covenant with us. And no longer, it says, will he punish the the children of the fathers to the third and fourth generation. He says, but every man will die for his own sin in that day. That's the word of God. That's in Jeremiah. You can read about that. People argue with me about that issue that God still punishes the third and fourth generation. I'm sorry, I just don't see it that way. Because I've seen many fine children coming out of really horrible homes. If parents that are just, I don't even want to go there because it may just really touch some really bad, some emotional things. But thank God that Jesus abolished that on the cross. Right? No longer are we cursed because, let me tell you, every one of us, I got a story where mom and dad did something, and you say, Lord, oh, please, let this not pass down on to me. Look what happened in David's house, in King David. He said that even in that time, how gracious God was, but David made a horrible decision on that day when he went out to battle, right? He committed a grave sin. He committed adultery. And that was a story that I was talking about earlier. And he, to cover up his sin, right, he kills the husband of the woman, right? His child, he's then struck. God said, I will spare you. I will spare you, my friend. I will spare you from the sin of death, but the sword will never leave your house. And the Bible actually says in 2 Kings that it was the Lord who causes evil, causes the sword to come in a man's house because of disobedience. It's God. God causes all things. We are misled that just the devil does all these things. Oh, the devil does things, all right. There's, make no mistake about that. If the devil's against you, you have the greatest ally on your side, which is God. But if God is against you, nobody can help us. God help you, as they say then. Because you can't be saved from that. You cannot. And don't, we kid ourselves into believing, yes, God won't do these things. God is a good God. He's a great God. Of course he's a great God. That's why we're still alive today. That's why we're still listening to this message. As long as it may be. But let me finish it off here. Our choices, whether we do something or we do nothing, produces a fruit. It's just what it does. Whatever you plant, what does the Bible say? Whatsoever you sow, so shall you reap. Whatever. It doesn't matter. Whatever. Is it an act of kindness? Somebody will be kind to you. Where's Mimi? Where's Mimi? Put your hand up, Mimi. Are you here? There she is. How well were you blessed after surrendering that sandwich that you wanted to so desperately eat and that money that you had in the pocket? And the Lord says, give it away, Mimi. And the money too, not just the sandwich. What? You ain't gonna take man, you ain't gonna take a woman's sandwich, and you're gonna take the money too. How were you blessed, Mimi? Huh? Were you hungry that day? No. Are you really missing that money? Probably got more in return for it. Right? It just depends how you see things. Just depends how you see things. We make resolutions on a daily basis. In Luke 22:49 says, Jesus was missing for a few days, right? And when his parents scolded him for it, he responded, how is it you sought me? Don't you know that I must be about my Father's business? And this is the scripture where I built everything from. John 4:34, Jesus says, my food is to do the will of him who sent me and to finish his work. To finish his work. I'm going to conclude my message here. I'm going to put a challenge to you. I heard many years ago, a daughter went to her father and she asked him, after some terrible turns in her life, she just messed up her whole life. Her father happened to be a pastor and is still alive to this day. He's a pastor in Texas. After many years of being out and doing her own stuff and having multiple children from multiple fathers and drug-related issues. And she came to her dad and she asked her dad, "What advice can you give me? What advice can you give me, Dad? Look at my life." And he said, "Whatever you've been doing, do exactly the opposite. And I know that it will work out just fine." I want to challenge you today. It's a challenge for me. Every single day. That you make a firm decision that you will do the will of the Lord. That you will do the will of the Father. And that you will finish the job. Because oftentimes we want to be different. We want to have different results. We do. Because if we're really honest with ourselves, we find that there are many things in our lives that we're not content with. You're looking at him. "I'm not content. Why should I be content with mediocrity? Why? When God has something better for me, what's the choice? What's the converting factor? What's the equation? What's the formula that will cause me to go from this place to that place? To go forward instead of backwards? To go up and not down?" There'll be a firm decision. It will be a resolution for me to serve God with all my heart. To walk along the path that God has carved out for me. And to totally trust Him. Because let me tell you, God will come and test everything that we lay claim to. "I will do this for you, Lord." Peter said the same thing. "Oh, I will follow you. Where you go, I will go. You know, I will never leave you, Lord, or abandon you. This shall never happen, Lord." He even pulled out a sword to prove his point. Which obviously was just all too futile. Because that wasn't the will or the way of God. That was man's ways. And man's ways are not perfect. We need to keep hearing the gospel over and over again. Why? Because we really have a short memory. We do. Now, we thank God when times are good, of course. You know, it's automatic. It's automatic. It just becomes an automatic response. "Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Wow, I'm blessed. Everything's happening." But all of a sudden, comes a day and you start to feel a bit of a squeeze. Things are not going the way you want them to go. The enemy rises up against you. And you know, it's the enemy. God shows us that it is the enemy. And then we come up with ideas and, "Well, I'm going to show him, and I'm going to do this, and I'm going to do that." And God said, "Your ways are not my ways." You need to surrender that to me, and I'll show you a better way. About a week ago, Sister Caridad, we were in office, actually, as a matter of fact, during the solemn assembly. She started to pray, and she put her hands on me, and she was praying. Everybody was kind of praying for different people at the same time. And I heard clearly, she said, "Not by might, not by power, but by my spirit, says the Lord." Man, I tell you, it was like my dreams and my aspirations just came crumbling to the floor. And I said, "Lord, can't I just go out and just punch that guy in the face? make me feel real good. You know, the two sons, Lord, should we call fire from heaven for not letting the people sleep, you know, just for the overnight? You would kill a man for that. And Jesus said, you do not know what spirit you are of. Man's ways are man's ways. They're not God's ways. I'm going to challenge you today. It's a challenge for us every single day. It's not just for today. It'll be from this day forward, and has been from the day that you were raised, to walk in the ways of God, to serve Him with all your heart, to be diligent in everything that He's given you, to trust Him in everything with your life. Everything. He is the God of all, or He's not God at all. There are no gray areas with God. There is no half things. It is either empty or it is full. There's no such thing as half. None of it. That does not exist in the kingdom of God. He doesn't want us to fail in our walk because we were indecisive. God wants us to walk securely in His path so that the perfect power of the cross and His work can be made manifest in our lives. There is nothing greater that you and I can do. Nothing greater. He says we can't be greater than the Master. The best we can do is to be equal with Him. I challenge you. If today you came in one way, I'm going to challenge you that you go out a different way. Of course, not physically. I'm not talking that. I'm talking about the mindset. 2 hours in church on Sunday is not going to establish a relationship with God. Will not fortify that. It will not. It will not forge that. It will undergird things that you already know God is talking to each and every one of us in our heart. It will. But it is not church. It is not your witness for 2 hours on a Sunday about Jesus Christ. It's not. I don't need to preach anybody. Everybody here is saved. How many here have never heard of God, the gospel of Jesus? How many? Is there anybody here that has never heard the gospel? No one, see? So I'm not teaching you and showing you how to be saved. You already know that. You came to God through faith, by faith. And you already obtained your salvation. But here now comes, as Paul said, every man must work out his own salvation. Work out your own salvation. Pick up your cross, Jesus said, and walk after me. We can talk all day long. I'm not short on words. And I'm sure that none of us are. I'm sure that every one of us have something valuable to add to the house and kingdom of God. But the most valuable thing that we can add to our lives is if we put Jesus and the cross right in the middle of everything. And we say, Lord, what do you want me to do? This may not be comfortable, but I'll do it. I'll do it. Do I need to go there? Do I need to drive somebody to a doctor? Do I need to, you know, look after the elderly? Do I need to sweep up in the church? What do I need to do? Because you know what? If we just come into church on a Sunday and just hearing good messages and nothing else happens, we're not effective. It's not working. We need to go another direction. We might as well not do any of these things, because if it doesn't produce the result, what's the point? If Jesus came and He died on the cross and nothing changed, He just died in vain. Can you say amen to that? He died for nothing. But that's not true. Something has to change when we lay our lives down at the feet of Jesus and we make a conscious decision, I will walk in His ways. There has to be a transformation. There has to be. This is not the United Nations where you're gonna hear something from God and it will not come to pass. This is, God doesn't work like that. God doesn't pull out an emergency cabinet and say, oh, well, what are we going to do, man? This didn't work. I want you to come out to God. Lay it all down. It's all or nothing, folks. We're living in days such as time has never seen before. You know what I'm talking about. It is probably one of the worst, darkest moments in mankind, where everything that I used to believe in and knew was immoral and wrong is now being ratified by the judicial system. It's legal or illegal. Forget the immoral aspect of it. It's just, is it legal or is it illegal? This is a horrible indictment, how decadent our society has become and our globe. Poison. It's poison with the dart of Satan. And there is no other recourse except to come to the feet of Christ. There is no other way. You and I cannot beat this by on our own strength, in our own resolutions and 50,000 paragraphs. It will not change. Wars will not stop. Terrorists will not stop. Famines will not stop. None of it will change until everybody says, hey, you are Lord of all. To you, King Jesus, to you I lay down my life, and you only I worship. If you're worshiping any other God today, and if you've been doing that last week, I'm going to urge you in the power of Christ to stop. I'm going to lay Jesus Christ down as the foundation for our lives, that we all in unity follow Him. And I tell you what, there will be no end to this church and to His church. There will be no end of the increase of His kingdom. There will be no end. Hell can break loose. Jesus is still in control. Can you say amen to that? Come on, give Him a shout of praise. Pastor Alvin, you have a great week. Don't leave yet. Pastor Alvin would like to address you. I think it's not on yet.
I believe that it's a whisper word with an earth impacting effect. I can't let Pastor Nick leave without having him pray. Those of us that are here that feel that the word has spoken right into our hearts, and I believe that's all of us, come up out of our seats. We're going to join here. We're just going to let the vessel that God used today to come and just minister to us in prayer. They will have to leave shortly. But let's, if you feel in your heart that you want prayer, especially as an impact of this message, I think it applies to all of us. It applies to all of us. When we recognize that we're a work in progress, that we have not arrived yet, come out of our seats and let's just be prayed over and let the Holy Spirit continue to do the work. Let the Holy Spirit do the work. Pastor Nick is going to pray. And then they have to leave as they're going to go minister to a family that's very dear to this house. Some of you may know Joanna and Bradley Reading. Joanna's mom passed away just this weekend, and they're having a service out in Mount Kisco. And Pastor Nick and Margie are going to minister to them. But as they go there to minister, we continue sending our love, and Pastor Nick is going to pray for us here.
Lord, Father, we thank You for Your loving kindness towards us, Lord. Great are Your works, and marvelous are they, Lord God, in our sight. We cannot, Lord God, leave this place without acknowledging that it is because of Your great power and our lives being in Your hands that we are saved this day today. that our future is brighter than ever, Lord God, despite of everything that goes on. That you have come, Lord God, to set the way for us that we should, that we by which we should walk, that we may obtain the eternal inheritance, Lord God, that one day that we may be where you are, as you say, that in your Father's house there are many rooms, and that you have gone to prepare a way for you, for us, O Lord God. Lord, we are unworthy vessels, Lord God, to receive anything good from you, because there is nothing, Lord God, that we can give you. There is nothing that, that we have that you have lack of. There is nothing that you can benefit, Lord God, from us through our works, other than to acknowledge that the Lord is good and his mercy endures forever. Now we can come down and bow down before you, Lord God. Make you our Lord and King over every situation in our lives. Father, let our lives be a living testimony to those around us. Let our time be not futile and wasteful, as the days are desperately evil. Let us redeem the time that we have, and let us cast in the sickle, Lord God, to gather in the great harvest. Give us power, Lord God, over our enemy. Give us love, Lord God, to love those who hate us. To do good, Lord God, when evil abounds. To persevere when things are not so good. And then, Lord God, you said that we'll be able to obtain a righteous entry into your kingdom. Teach us, Lord God, how to not be selfish in our ways and in our thoughts, O God. To break bread with our brethren. To love our neighbor, Lord, as ourselves. To give honor to you, God. To turn our face away from evil. Hate that which is evil and love that which is good, O Lord. These are your commandments, after all. May our life be filled with abundance of love and mercy. And the same grace that we receive, O God, may we extend it to those around us. Help our homes, O God, and our neighbors. Open their eyes, O God, so they may see the love of Christ in us. So they too may obtain the same favor that we have ourselves. Change our city, O Lord God, and those who lead and govern us. Change their hearts, so they may lead us the right way. Lord, we thank you. And forgive us, Lord God, for our sins. Forgive us for every time we've sinned against you, Lord God. Hold it not against us in a day. But as you said to your servant David, I will not hold your sin against you. You will be spared. And you will enter into eternal rest. How loving are you, Lord God, when we don't deserve it. We pray for your peace in our lives, that we may prosper in all things, that all men around us would see the love of Christ, and that we acknowledge that is the work of Jesus in those people. I want to be like Jesus more. And we thank you in the most precious name that is upon and above all the earth and above all the heavens and all creation. The name of Jesus, there is no greater name. Lord, we cover us with your love all the days of our lives. Our peace and health to us, our children, our families. In the mighty name of Jesus. And all God's people would say, amen. Be blessed, everyone.
Praise the Lord.
Great.